I'll begin this morning by reading the second verse of the Juseige, which we chanted this morning. The Juseige is a section of one of the sermons delivered by the Buddha. We chant it very often here at our services, and from time to time it's nice to reflect upon the meaning of these words that we're chanting. I invite you to join me in Gassho. Gassho o negai shimasu. Ga o muryo ko fui dai seshu. Fusai shobingu, se fujosho gaku. If for countless kalpas to come, I should not become a great benefactor and save all the destitute and afflicted everywhere, may I not attain the perfect enlightenment. Watashi wa kagiri naku itsu made mo oinaru negumi no nushi tonari, chikara mo naku kurushinderu ものを広く救うことができないようなら誓って仏にならないと。ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ。Good morning. 皆さんおはようございます。Thank you for being with us this morning. This month, we're here in the month of March.Who can tell me what the major important Buddhist service we have for the month of March is? Does anyone know? The month of March. Any ideas? I'll give you a hint. It's the only service, the only major service that we have twice a year. That's right, Ohigan. Ohigan. March is Ohigan. Ohigan. Does anyone know what Ohigan is?Ohigan is the equinox. The equinox is the time of year when the length of the day and the night is exactly the same. It's the change of seasons. And so it's a time when we think about our own journey, our journey to the west, because during the equinox, during the fall equinox and the spring equinox, the sun sets directly.In the west. Other times of year, it's a little bit to the north or a little bit to the south, still basically in the west, but on the equinox, it's exactly due west. So it's the time of the year when we know exactly what the direction to the west is. Now, in Buddhism, and particularly in our Jodo Shinshu Buddhist tradition, the west is very important. The west is very important. Does anyone know why the west is an important direction?What is in the west? The Pure Land of Amida Buddha. So this space here in the temple, this area, this represents the Buddha's world of enlightenment. And it's said in the sutras that that world of enlightenment lies in the west. So when we reflect upon the direction of our lives, journeying toward the Buddha's world of enlightenment, we also reflect upon our lives journeying toward the west.Now, what happens with the sun? What does the sun do in the west? I just mentioned it. It sets, it goes down, right? So it goes down at the end of the day, the end of the day, right? And so in Buddhism, we're also taught that everybody who is alive, everyone who's born, eventually dies. And so this direction of the sun setting in the west also represents the conclusion of our lives in this world.That's why it is said that people like the Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha, Shinran Shonin, when they were about to pass away, when they were about to die, that they laid down with their head facing north and their face facing the west. So the west is a very important part of the Buddha's teachings. Today, I want to talk about why is it that the Buddha created this pure land, this world of enlightenment in the west?It's made of
real wood with gold leaf,
so it is real. It's a real adornment, a real place where we keep the statue of the Buddha inside. So we have the statue of the Buddha, and that Buddha dwells in the west, in this this pure land. Okay, so the Buddha, when he was creating this pure land, he made this vow, these words that I read at the beginning of my talk. If for countless kalpas to come, a kalpa is a very, very long time, a very long time. I should not become a great benefactor, a great helper for all people, and not save all the destitute and afflicted everywhere. Everybody everywhere who's having trouble, the Buddha wants to help those people. And if that doesn't occur, may I not attain perfect enlightenment. May I not become a Buddha. This is the kind of one of the basic ideas of Buddhism, that the Buddha, Amida Buddha, wanted to save everybody, just like Shakyamuni Buddha, who we talked about last month, wanted to save everybody. So the Buddhas want to save everybody. And in order to accomplish that, then certain things need to happen. And those things happen, so they become Buddhas. So Amida Buddha created this world for everybody who's suffering so that they would have a place to go to realize peace and bliss. So the Buddha recognized that there's all kinds of trouble in the world. And so in order to help people who are having trouble, he created this world of enlightenment, world of enlightenment. So if you think about what are some kinds of trouble that we have in the world, can you think of some trouble that we have, problems? Yes, Fioma?
Wars.
And in the Buddha's time, there were wars, and there have been wars throughout history. Can you name another kind of trouble or problems that we have in the world? Yeah, how about you, Cameron?
Civil war.
That's right. That's when people in the same country are fighting each other, fighting against each other. Wars. All of these kinds of problems and conflict. Yes, Nicole? What's that? World War II. Yes, World War III would be a big problem. Yes, we don't want World War III. World War II was a big problem, and many people here today remember World War II and remember all of the problems. So when you think of problems, you think of conflict, you think about people fighting, right? Well, people have been fighting for a long time, and the Buddha wished for this world of peace, peace and bliss. That's what this pure land is. And so throughout the years, throughout the generations, people have heard this teaching, recognized the problems and the conflicts in our world, and looked to this teaching to be their guide, for a source of support, for comfort, and to show them how to live. Today I want to talk to you about someone who's very important to us, who heard this teaching in a time when there were wars and conflict and fighting. And this person was named Denyo. Denyo Shonin. Does anyone know where Denyo Shonin is? We have a picture of him up here in the Onaijin. Can anyone point to him? You want to point? Yep, that's right. That's right. Stephanie and Doma were both pointing right here, just to the left of the Buddha image. There's a portrait of Denyo Shonin. Denyo Shonin lived in Japan from 1415 to 1499. So a very long time ago. Yes, Doma. That's right. There are many wonderful books about Denyo Shonin, and we have some of those books here at the temple that you're all welcome to borrow and to read. So Denyo lived at a time, he lived about 200 years after Shinran. Shinran is here to the right, the founder of our tradition. So Denyo was the eighth generation leader of our Honganji tradition. So he came along about 200 years after Shinran's time. And when Denyo became the leader of the Honganji, of our main temple, the Honganji was becoming very weak. It was becoming weak because not everybody was doing the same things. People would go to a temple and say, "What kind of Buddhism is this?" Sometimes people come here and ask that question. We say, "Oh, this is Jodo Shinshu Buddhism. We follow the teachings of Shinran. We belong to the Honganji school." And now, if you come here and you look at our temple, and if you go to Palo Alto Buddhist Temple down in Palo Alto, or the Buddhist Church of San Francisco up in San Francisco, you'll see that the temples are very similar inside. They're a little bit different, but what we chant is the same. We all chant Juseige and other sutras. At the middle of our temple, we have a statue of, who's at the middle? The Buddha. And which Buddha? We have a picture of Shinran on the right. In the middle, we have Amida Buddha. Amida Buddha, right? Well, in Denyo's time, that wasn't the case. You might go to a Jodo Shinshu temple, and it would look completely different from the next nearest Jodo Shinshu temple. So people had all kinds of different statues, all kinds of different images. People were chanting all kinds of different things, and they had all kinds of different understandings. And so it was very confusing, and people would argue with each other about what was right and what was wrong. And so Denyo, when he became the Gomonshu, the leader of Honganji, at the age of 43, he looked around and he said, "Wow, this is a mess. We've got to organize this, get everyone on the same page." So he began to go from temple to temple and say, all you need to have at your temple is a statue, or even better than a statue, is a scroll with the words Namo Amida Butsu written on it. So he would write the words Namo Amida Butsu on a piece of paper, and he would present it to the people at that temple and say, this is all you need to have at your temple. So you can take down all of these other statues and all these other pictures that you have and just have this image, either a picture of the Buddha, a statue of the Buddha, or these words, Namo Amida Butsu. And so when he started doing this, the temples became stronger because they were all doing the same thing. At the same time, there were monks from a place called Mount Hiei. Do you remember about Mount Hiei? Yeah. Mount Hiei was where Shinran went to study. And Mount Hiei was the biggest, strongest temple in Japan at the time. And sometimes people would be at a temple and they would have maybe a picture of Shinran or the words Namu Amida Butsu, but they would also have maybe pictures of important monks from Mount Hiei up at their temple, or statues that were like the statues they had at Mount Hiei. And Denyo said, you know, you don't need to have all those things, because all you need is Amida Buddha. So when people started taking those pictures and those statues from Mount Hiei out of their temples, how do you think the monks at Mount Hiei felt about it? Not happy. That's right, Cole. They were not happy. They were so not happy that they went to the Honganji and they burned it to the ground. They burned the Honganji down. They were so angry. And they were particularly angry because Honganji had a statue of Shinran Shonin that they put up at the center of the temple. They put that statue up because Shinran Shonin was a very important teacher of the Nembutsu. And Shinran Shonin taught that this message of the Nembutsu is a teaching for everybody. That in the Nembutsu, there is no high-ranking people, there are no low-ranking people. Everyone is equal in the Buddha's compassion. And so this teaching was very dangerous in the eyes of the monks of Mount Hiei, because they were way up high and the people were way down low. And so this teaching that everyone was equal was very, very scary. And they particularly wanted to get rid of this statue of Shinran Shonin. And so every time Denyo left and ran away from his temple, they had to carry the statue of Shinran Shonin with them. One day, as they were running away from the temple, one of Denyo's friends, he had carried this statue. He had wrapped it in some cords, and he was carrying it on his back like a backpack. And they were running, and they were being chased by warrior monks. These were monks who had swords and armor. They were really, really scary, scary monks. So they're running away from them, and they were running through the woods. They're running through the woods, and when they got to the other side of the woods, they were so relieved. Whew, we made it out. We made it out alive. But then, all of a sudden, something's missing. The statue wasn't there. The statue wasn't there. So they said, oh no, we must have lost it in the forest. So they went back into the forest, and they called out, where is the statue? Where is the statue? Where is the statue? Please, let me see the light of the Buddha's wisdom. And as they were searching, they heard a voice that says, I, Shinran, am here. And they looked up in a tree, and there was the statue. It had gotten hooked onto a tree as they were running away. So they got the statue, and they carried it, and they went to the next place, and they built another temple. But you know what happened? Can you guess what happened when they built another temple?
It got burned down,
that's right. The monks from Mount Hiei, these warrior monks, they came and they chased them out. And this time they were running, and they weren't sure where they could go. They were running, and finally they came to a woodsman, a hunter, a man who hunted. He caught deer and other animals for his living, for meat and for clothing, for leather. And so they went to this man's house, and he said, "What are you running from?" So I'm running from the monks at Mount Hiei. He said, "Oh, those monks at Mount Hiei, they always give me a hard time because I'm a hunter. They say, you're a hunter, and hunters have so much bad karma that they'll never become enlightened. And so they're always picking on me and giving me a hard time." And Denyo said, "Oh, well, actually, if you say the Nembutsu, even hunters can be saved. Even hunters can realize enlightenment through birth in the Pure Land by hearing the Nembutsu." He said, "Really? That's a great teaching. You've done me a great favor by letting me hear the teachings. Let me do you a favor. Why don't you come and hide in my hut? It's deep, deep in the woods." He says, "Okay, but we have this statue. Where are we going to hide it?" He said, "Well, in front of my hut, there's a little pond. And so why don't you bury that statue in the sandy banks in front of the pond?" Said, "Okay, let's do it." So they buried it, and they said, "Okay, we'll keep it here." And he said, "You know what? I'll hang on to this. I'll keep it for safekeeping. I'll put this bamboo branch right here so we'll always know where it is." Later, they came back, and they said, "Okay, now it's time for us to build our temple." And this woodsman said, "Okay, let's go to the pond." They went to the pond, and you know what happened? The branch had blown away in a storm. "Oh no, where is it? Where is it?" And Nenyo, he was sitting there. He was so nervous. He said, "Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Let me see the light of the Buddha's wisdom. May the light of the Buddha's wisdom, let me see it." And he heard a voice that said, "I, Shinran, am here." He heard it from a certain spot in the bank of this pond. So they started digging and digging and digging. And you know what? They found the statue. Found the statue, and they set it up in their temple. And for a while, they had a peaceful place for this temple. And so Denyo, then he went out, and he went traveling, and he said, "You know, I've had some hard times, but you know who really had a hard time? Shinran Shonin. Let me experience the places where Shinran Shonin went." So he traveled to the eastern part of Japan where Shinran Shonin lived, and he went door to door, he traveled, he tried to meet the people who had heard of Shinran Shonin, go to the places where Shinran Shonin had been. Some people were very happy to see him. Other people were not as friendly. He went to one house in particular. He said, "I'm traveling, I'm a descendant of Shinran Shonin. He was my great 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 grandfather. I'm trying to learn about him and to experience the places where he lived. And I've come here to your village. Is there any place I could stay for the night?" And the woman who was there, she and her husband, they said, "We don't have any room for you. You can sleep in the cow barn. You can sleep in the shed." Right? So he went and he spent the night in the shed. He said, "At least it's not raining. At least I'm not too cold." Then he woke up the next morning and he said, "Thank you for letting me stay in your barn. May I have something to eat? I'm so hungry. I haven't eaten since yesterday morning." She said, "Oh, sure, I've got something for you to eat." And so she, you know what she did? She took a rock and wrapped it up in bamboo leaves, like an onigiri. She said, "Here's an onigiri," and she threw it at him. And he said, "Oh." He unwrapped the bamboo leaves, and he planted them in the ground. And where he planted them, the bamboo plant grew. When she saw it growing, she said, she realized, "Oh, this man who I've been so mean to, he didn't fight back. He didn't throw the rock back at me. He recognized that this too, this life, this bamboo lamp plant that I threw at him, this is a precious life. And he planted it in the ground. He's such a kind and compassionate and wise person. Maybe I should listen to what he has to say. So she listened to him, listened to his teachings, and she and her husband then founded a temple. They started a Jodo Shinshu temple where this teaching could be passed on. So Denyo Shonin, he lived at a time of great difficulty. There were wars, there was lots of conflict. And he knew at that time, he knew where to look for guidance. He looked to the teachings of the Buddha. His life was always directed toward the West, always directed toward the world of the Buddha's enlightenment. And living in that way, he was able to remain calm, remain kind, and to pass on this teaching of Shindan Shoni. One of his students, a man who was inspired by his teachings, he said, each day, this man's name was Doshu from the village of Akao, he said, each day one should practice mindfulness. One should be aware of and be grateful for everything that one has in one's life by going to doing a morning Buddhist service at their home Obutsudan, even a simple scroll with the words Namu Amida Butsu. Each day we should do something to show our appreciation for the Buddha and for everything that we receive. Right? Each month, one should go to a temple where there's an image of Shindan Shonin. Right? So Renyo Shonin had maintained that statue of the Buddha so that there would be a place where people could remember Shindan, a person just like you and me. And each year, one should go on a pilgrimage to the head temple of our school in Honganji. This was in Japan, and this was a great journey. But he said, each year, you should try to make a trip to Honganji. Now we live very far away, but if you have a chance, if you can go to Honganji one time in your lifetime, you can see this statue of Shinran. It's still there at the Honganji that Denyo Shonin worked so hard to take care of, not because it was a precious piece of wood, but because it represented the Buddha's compassion here in our world as expressed by Shindan Shoni. So thank you very much for coming here today. This is your daily mindfulness. Hope you'll be mindful tomorrow and every day in your own way, in your own home, at school, at work, and everywhere you travel, hearing this voice of the Buddha's compassion in the words Namu Amida Butsu, calling us to this world of peace and bliss that was created just for us, just for you and me, in this world of difficulty that we live in. I'll conclude by once again reading these words of the larger sutra. Please join me in Gassho. If, for countless kalpas to come, I should not become a great benefactor and save all the destitute and afflicted everywhere, may I not attain perfect enlightenment. Namu Amida Butsu. 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 Namu Amida Butsu.